Next, we are addressing item M, CEQA actions, rules to implement Senate Bill 743, and we welcome Judge Brick and also Ann Roman.
And, and this is also an action item. It's item M. Is there any public comment on item M, CEQA actions, rules to implement Senate Bill 743? There are none.
Go ahead, Ann.
Justice Ikola should be on the line to
appear
telephonically.
Very good. Are you there, Justice Ikola?
I certainly am. Thank you, Chief, and members of counsel. Just a brief introduction to refresh your recollection of the problem that's been laid at counsel's feet here by the legislature. Back in 2011, the legislature adopted Assembly Bill 900, which provided that environmental challenges to certain large development projects under CEQA must be filed as a writ proceeding directly in the Court of Appeal, completely bypassing the Superior Court. Projects qualifying for that special procedure had to meet certain requirements and be designated by the government as so-called environmental leadership projects. AB 900 required the Court of Appeal to complete its review within 175 days and required judicial counsel to adopt rules of court to accomplish this goal. So pursuant to that mandate, the Appellate Advisory Committee at that time was tasked with developing rules of court to implement the legislature's command. The committee's work resulted in a draft of what eventually became Rule 8.497, which in due course was adopted by the Judicial Council on an expedited basis, effective July 1, 2012. Well, 9 months later, in March of 2013, one of Judge Brick's colleagues on the Alameda County Superior Court declared unconstitutional that provision of AB 900, which allowed challenges to leadership projects to bypass the Superior Court. The judgment was not appealed, but the legislature responded by adopting SB 743, signed by the governor last fall on September 27th. SB 743 remedied the constitutional defect by requiring challenges to leadership projects to be brought first in the Superior Court, but also mandated that the entire process in both the trial and appellate courts be completed in 270 days. SB 743 also added the Sacramento Arena Sports Complex to these expedited rules. It should be noted that the Office of Governmental Affairs and subject matter experts from the courts and the AOC, including Justice Roby, who had chaired the earlier working group on the AB 900 project, tried to work with legislative staff before SB 743 was enacted, explaining that such an expedited review was highly infeasible. The Judicial Council also, through its Policy and Coordination and Liaison Committee, also opposed SB 743 to no avail. So here we are. The legislature has again mandated counsel to adopt rules of court implementing expedited procedures, which, in the view of at least the Appellate Advisory Committee, will be very difficult to apply. Those rules to become effective July 1, 2014. Because the 270-day mandate now covers a review by both the Superior Courts and the Appellate Courts, a joint subcommittee was formed to figure out how best to comply with that mandate. Judge Brick, together with Justice Roby from the 3rd District, co-chaired that working group. They did a wonderful job with a very difficult task. And the joint subcommittee's work was approved for recommendation to council by both committees, the Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee and the Appellate Advisory Committee, without significant change. So Judge Brick is here, I guess, with you to lead you into the weeds with some of the ways that this task was sought to be accomplished.
Thank you for that presentation, Justice Ikola.
Thank you, Justice Ikola. Good afternoon, members of the council, and friends and colleagues. It's nice to see you all again. I don't want to take too much of your time, seeing it's 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Our joint committee included 12 highly experienced CEQA judges and lawyers. We met several times telephonically. We were ably assisted by staff, Ann Ronan, Heather Anderson, and Jay Harrell. We debated how best to allocate the inadequate amount of time that the legislature has given. There was tremendous cooperation between those on the trial bench and those on the Court of Appeals as to how the time needed to be allocated. It was approached in a very professional way. We did, of course, send our draft out for public comment. We received 7 comments. All of them contained useful and important criticisms, which we carefully considered. Unfortunately, given that the mandate is 270 days and we're not able to double that or increase it at all, we did the best we could to come up with a schedule that is potentially achievable. It's a very aggressive schedule. Achieving this, there are only 3 leadership projects that have so far been approved by the governor, plus the Kings Arena in Sacramento. I understand from Ann that there may be 2 more in the pipeline. So it's a limited number of very large projects around the state. Achieving the 270-day timeline through the Court of Appeal will depend upon the professionalism and the cooperation of all counsel. Counsel in these kinds of cases tend to be specialized. They will have the advantage of having worked through the factual issues and legal issues at the administrative level and created the administrative record. Everybody's going to know what's going on in the case in detail, except, of course, the trial judge who sees it for the first time when it gets on his or her desk, and then the Court of Appeal in doing the review. The highlights of the schedule are that the trial judge will first become involved 30 days after the filing of the matter at a case management conference. The success of this timeline will depend upon prompt filing of the petition and prompt service upon the real party in interest and the respondent agencies so that they can participate in a competent way in the case management conference. If there are delays in service, filing and or service, the case management conference will undoubtedly have to be continued and the schedule will drop from there. 80 days after the case management conference and 15 days after the filing of a reply brief, we have set the date for the hearing approximately before the trial judge and allowed 30 days for a decision. That may sound like an adequate amount of time, and it may well be, but given that the records in these cases are often tens of thousands of pages, in order for a trial judge to competently review the questions of evidence and the disputes about what the record shows and then apply the law appropriately, it's not much time at all. In order to do it, my guess is that the CEQA judges will have to begin digging in upon receipt of the opposition papers. And then look at the reply brief to see if it advances anything. So that approximately 140 of the 270 allocated days will be taken up in the trial court. It's important to know that if a petition for hearing in the Supreme Court is filed after a decision by the Court of Appeal, that's outside the 270 days. We'll be happy to try to address any questions the counsel may have.
Judge Jackson.
I wonder why. No, Steve and I, we were buddies back at Org Days. We go back. I really do appreciate the work, and it is what it is. It was dictated by the legislators. It's just so unrealistic. In my humble opinion, having done CEQA for 3 years now, and have done big projects, and I have a feeling I know one of them that's in the pipeline right now. And these are complex cases that requires a lot of work, a lot of review, and the records are not like any other records I've ever seen in my entire career as an attorney and now as a judge. And we're not here to rubber stamp. And when we're talking big projects, we're talking volumes, and I know it's going to be all on CDs, but we still have to go through this. And my question, and of course it's no fault of the committee because you did the work and you had to do what the legislators passed, what would be the consequences if we can't get it done?
Well, it's a wonderful question, Terry. It's interesting because for the Sacramento project. It's the language has some wiggle room in it.
Yeah, for the Sacramento project, which is a separate statute than for the environmental leadership projects, it does include the phrase that it's to be done this way if feasible.
Regrettably, that phrase is not contained in the other leadership program. So I think the legislature is counting on us to do the best we can. And if the lawyers aren't competent and professional, we won't meet these deadlines, but it won't be the fault of the judges. The judges will do their best.
No, the lawyers, for the most part, and that's one of the big delights of doing CEQA. It's a fascinating area. It's great lawyers, but there's a lot of motion practice. There's a lot of fight over the record itself. They can have it certified, which basically, I believe the clock starts ticking then, once the record starts to be certified. But there's motion practice to augment the record, get the emails, and the demurs and so forth. That's what I'm concerned about, that the legislators did not take into consideration in this 120 days.
Let me add to that, when we talk about competent counsel, I think one safety valve here is that the rules that are before you allow counsel to stipulate to extend the various times. And usually we do get competent counsel on these cases, and I think that may well be a safety valve that competent counsel will realize that this is just not doable and will agree to extend the time. And the rule does allow then for the 270 days to be extended by whatever period of time the parties have stipulated. Not perfect, but it's a safety valve.
It is a safety valve. Sometimes, and I will say that 80% of the time or 90% of the time they do, but I have one case in question that nothing was stipulated to. But those are few and far between, but the question still remains, if we can't get it done, what are the consequences? And I guess it's
an open question. There's nothing in the statutes regarding any sanctions. There's nothing indicating a loss of jurisdiction. No, there's nothing in there about it.
Mm. Judge Glassman.
I know Judge D'Alba and Judge Rosenberg will agree with me, Justice Hull. The Sacramento arena is the most important thing going on in California right now. Go
without
Kings.
Question.
Now that he started that, go Brooklyn Nets. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't go there.
Justice Miller.
Yeah, we got it.
So I have a motion. I'm not going to hear it.
I'll second it.
So there's a motion to approve the recommendations, seconded by Judge Jackson.
Begrudgingly.
I don't believe there's any further discussion. I believe it was handled at the highest level for the courts with the experts doing the best they can with the statute for which they didn't write. Justice Hull and I were just talking about statutory interpretation and all of those things that we say about intent and absurdity and all. But we understand the consequences and our responsibility here. And so in that regard, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much for this very difficult work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Aikola.